afternoon, whenever you're listening to this. Welcome to the internet's most sophisticated wrestling podcast, discussing the weekly aspects of it all, right here on
the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us on the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast. We're back with another great interview. Here I am. Christopher's here with you. Captain Chuckles here with you. And we have a very special guest today. You may have seen him on AEW. You may have seen him on the Independents. And I know you're seeing him in your screen right now. It's Alan Angels. Welcome, Alan. Thanks for joining us.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How's everything going?
Good, man. I like the name Bald Monkeys. You know, it's pretty appropriate, you know?
Yes.
Rocking it's bald. Extremely appropriate.
Love it.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's actually only one of us in the actual core group that has hair, and he tries to rub it in all the time.
Dude, I believe it. I know it.
I always say that this is a lifestyle choice and has nothing to do with genetics or anything else.
Of course. We're just thinning. We're just thinning. It's not, we're not bald.
I have no choice. So, Alan, I appreciate you joining us today. We kind of want to just roll through kind of who you are and let the people kind of see a little bit behind the scenes of how you started. And I think we'll start there with, you know, you're only 22, but I like to always ask, what was young Alan Angels like? You know, what was your upbringing and what got you into wrestling in general?
I mean, I had a pretty good upbringing, you know, both my parents and, you know, I'm very fortunate. Both of them are very supportive of, you know, the wrestling and all that stuff. And when I told them I wanted to be a wrestler, you know, they were super behind it. And, you know, there was no pushback or anything really. I mean, you know, I don't think any parent is like super ecstatic when a kid tells them they want to be a professional wrestler and not go to college and all that stuff. But, you know, they were cool with it and they supported me and they came to all my shows, especially at the beginning, you know, and, I had a pretty good upbringing. My dad watched wrestling when I was, really young. I mean, he's always watched wrestling, you know, so I kind of get it from him, but, he was watching wrestling, when I was really little. And then I told, my preschool teacher to know her role and shut her mouth. And,
that's so awesome.
After that, I wasn't allowed to watch wrestling for a while. And then I think I was just flipping through the channels one day at home. I was like 7 and I saw SmackDown and I just started watching it from there. And, you know, the rest is history. And I don't really remember a time where I wasn't saying that I was going to be a pro wrestler, you know. Mm-hmm. It just grew more and more on me. And then when I graduated high school, I was like, if I don't do this now, I'm never going to do it. And, you know, I'll beat myself up forever if I don't at least try it. So, yeah, from then on, it was just I wanted to be a wrestler.
Awesome.
Nice.
Now, your dad was big into wrestling. What was his favorite wrestler? And then from there, what was your favorite wrestler growing up?
So his favorite wrestler of all time is probably Dusty Rhodes, which is pretty cool, you know, considering I'm working for his son now and all that good stuff. But yeah, Dusty Rhodes, he was an NWA guy. He's from North Carolina, you know, so he's big into that. He used to work out at the gym that, like, I think Sting and Lex Luger used to work out at. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's pretty cool. My favorite wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels. I feel like that's almost like a generic answer nowadays.
No, it's the right answer.
That's what I be telling people, man. It's the right answer. It's just, I don't know. I just think he's one of the best of all time. And, like, I think, you know, the way that he was able to communicate to the audience without, like, in the ring, you know, without saying anything, without, you know, just portraying whether he was a heel and, like, making everybody hate him or being a babyface and getting that sympathy. He did it all in the ring, and he's definitely the best of all time at, like, you know, getting everything that he wants to out of a crowd, I think. Especially like in the actual match, like his promos were, you know, decent. He was never the best. I mean, you know, like he was good, but he wasn't the best on the mic, but, he's definitely, like the best in the ring and just, you know, getting the emotion that he wants to out of the crowd. So, and I think that really translated to me, even though I didn't really know why, when I was a kid, like, I think that's one of the reasons that I really liked him as a kid, just cause he was so good at that. And like, you know, I wasn't able to like dissect it like I am now, you know, like how he does this and like why he does this and stuff like that. But it just kind of, you know, it registers to, you know, the normal everyday crowd. And I think that's why he's one of the best for sure.
Good answer. Very good answer.
Yeah, and he says that because Shawn Michaels is his favorite wrestler.
All-time favorite
of
wrestler.
Of all time. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I grew up watching the Rockers, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels, and then the greatest moment of my life was when Shawn Michaels put Marty Jannetty through that barbershop window. That was it. Take off from there.
Yeah. I mean, I think I put a like one of those questionnaires on Instagram the other day, and someone asked me the match that made me a fan of wrestling and the match that inspired me to be a wrestler. And the match that made me a fan was at Backlash 2006, and it was RVD versus Shelton Benjamin. But the match that inspired me to be a wrestler was The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. You know, I think that's the best match of all time to this day. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've had that conversation. Yep. We actually did a yearly one, and we talked about best match of all time, and that came up a couple of times.
I think that's definitely, if it's not the best, it's one of the best for sure.
Yeah.
Agreed. Being an Undertaker fan, I agree. So, starting out, getting into the business, you've trained with a couple of people that on the independent scene. One of them is a gentleman by the name A.R. Fox. You also did some stuff with the Nightmare Factory. How did the Nightmare Factory stuff happen? I know you've had some independent matches with QT Marshall as well. So how did all that stuff kind of come about?
Yeah, so when I first started, the WWA 4 was kind of the only school in Atlanta. And it was also, you know, the most affordable one. So I was just like, I literally just Googled pro wrestling schools in Atlanta. And, you know, that was the first thing that came up. So, but it turned out to be a really good decision. And AR Fox, he's definitely one of the best independent wrestlers out there. He's super innovative and super, you know, like, I guess you could call him a flippy guy or whatever, but like, I think he's one of the guys that, everything that he does in the ring, wall is amazing and crazy. Like, it all makes sense. And I don't think he has a lot of wasted motion. And, I definitely think he's one of the best, at doing that kind of style. While on the other hand, you know, you got a guy like QT Marshall who, is super old school. You know, he was trained by the Dudleys, who are, you know, super old school. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and it's just complete opposite sides of the spectrum. I think QT is one of the best at doing the basics. And, you know, if you're not super good at the basics, I think it's really hard to be like main event talent, you know. So, yeah, I think just training at both of those places got me, you know, ready to be a really well-rounded wrestler, I think. You know, not to put myself over or anything like that, but, like, I think I'm, like, pretty well-rounded as far as that goes. I was training at the WWA 4 for maybe 2 years, and then I just switched over to the Power Factory, which is now the Nightmare Factory, where I'm still training today. So, yeah.
Is that how the opportunity with AEW kind of happened, from the closeness with QT and then Cody coming in? Is that how that all kind of started?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you're not promised anything, you know, and I think that's one of the things that definitely drew me to the Power Factory. Cause I've been wrestling there since pretty much they started opening pretty much like when they opened in like 2018-ish, 2017. They had just started when I first started going there, and they, you know, they don't promise you anything, but good training. And, you know, you got to come there to learn. And if you're not coming there to learn, if you're coming there to, you know, get an opportunity or whatever, like, you know, QT sniffs that stuff out. Like he doesn't take any BS, you know? So, and he tells that to everybody that joins now, you know, just because he is with AEW doesn't mean you're going to get anything out of it. You know, you have to earn it. Just like you have to earn any other opportunity.
And it just goes to show, you know, if you put in the work, you put in the time, and you learn all the stuff that you need to, you know, and you show that you're one of the best, you know, you're proof that those opportunities can definitely happen, you know, to someone newly, you know, newly into the business.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, like I said, QT, he'll sniff out a guy that's coming there just cause, you know, he wants to be famous, you know, for sure. And you can always see him. You can always see him from a distance, those guys. And he's just really good at making sure that everybody knows that, you know, you have to work to get anything out of it. And when I first started there, there was no connection with AEW. AEW hadn't even mm-hmm. existed yet. You know, it was just kind of like pretty much any other wrestling school. He had some connections with Ring of Honor at the time. You know, a few guys got some opportunities up there. Josie Quinn, who, you know, he went to the Ring of Honor, dojo up in Baltimore and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, he's not going to give you anything that you don't deserve.
So. Yeah. So far, most people have seen you on AEW. You've had three matches against three pretty big names.
Right.
One of the things that I was looking at, and I wanted to know, and it's probably going to seem like a really weird question. So in your independent days, I know that you and Marco Stunt have wrestled each other a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Archer had his debut match against Marco. And then the next week you wrestled Lance Archer.
Yeah.
And I was wondering I don't know if you guys have a friendship or anything, but did he say anything to you about like good luck or like any notes of,
fuck your chin.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, me and Marco are pretty cool. Yeah. We had a match at Action Wrestling in October of, I guess 2018, I want to say. It was really fun. I enjoyed it. And I also, I wrestle at his home promotion, SUP in Nashville. So, yeah, we're pretty cool. And every time I'm in the locker room, I always make sure to talk to him and stuff. No, we didn't really talk anything about Lance Archer besides just like how big he is and like how he could probably actually kill both of us if he wanted to, you know. He's just a huge guy. He's I don't know, it's either him or Brody or Luchasaurus. They're all just like huge guys. Yeah. Like Jesus, man. But yeah,
what is the feeling when you're up there and he's getting ready to do his finisher and you're just like, what goes through your mind at that point that you know in a half a second he's gonna flip you over and you're on the mat?
Don't slam me too hard.
That's it. Yeah.
So
don't kill me, please.
Yeah, exactly. So every match I think has built upon the one before it, you know, so far. I mean, the match with Archer was very short. The match with Omega was a little bit longer. They're calling it the kick out heard round the world, you know, when you got out of that first one. And then the Rey Fénix match, I think, was just, in my opinion, seeing you a little bit before and these couple of matches, I feel you really got a chance to put everything that you have kind of been doing in the years leading up to this into that match. I mean, we got to see the high flyer aspect, the grappler aspect, the submission kind of aspect. It's awesome to see that that you had a chance to kind of show the world, you know, who you are with that. Yeah. And just so everybody knows, we are taping Tuesday afternoon, and later tonight on Dark goes on YouTube. You have a match against some schmo. I don't even know his name. I mean, he calls himself a god or something. I mean, get out of here with that crap. So there, no spoilers. This isn't going up till Friday anyway, but definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, what comes next for you. How has everything been with AEW so far?
Dude, it's you know, I'm just super grateful to get any of the opportunity that I get. And the fact that, you know, I got to wrestle Kenny Omega for 6 minutes is, you know, insane to even say. The fact that I wrestled him in front of a million people on TV, you know. And yeah, and I think the match with Phoenix is probably the one of my favorite matches I've ever had, like, regardless of it being on TV or not. Like, Phoenix is an insane, like, talent. Like, in my opinion, I think he's, like, top three luchadors of all time, you know, and that's up there with Rey Mysterio, you know. So that was crazy. And when I saw we had 8 minutes, you know, it was you know, a pretty good sign of things to come. And I hope you know, they lived up to people's expectations and stuff like that, because you know, that's like a dream match of mine. Same thing with the Sammy match, man. Like, me and Sammy, you know, I think we'll tear it down for sure. And yeah, the Phoenix match was definitely my favorite that I've had so far. The locker room is just such a good, you know, it just has such good energy and everybody's super positive, you know. I've been in, like, Ring of Honor, NXT, Raw, SmackDown locker rooms, and the AEW locker room is just so positive. Not saying you know, shitting on the other locker rooms or anything like that. But, like, you know, the AEW locker room, just everyone is so positive. Everyone's so friendly. You know, everyone wants to be there. And everyone just wants to tear the house down, man. Like, you know, you can tell that everybody is just trying to, you know, put on the best show that they can. Part of that is because a lot of those guys are, you know, young. I might be the youngest one there when I'm there. But, you know, all the other guys are, you know, they're not that much older than me, and they're just young and hungry, and they just want to, you know, prove that AEW is the place to be. You know, I think everybody thinks of it as like a team thing. I don't think anybody is there for, I mean, obviously everyone's there for, you know, they put themselves first, which, I mean, you kind of have to in the wrestling world, but, you know, I think a lot of the guys, they also look at it as like a, you know, AEW is a team, and like, they're on a mission to be the number one promotion in America.
Yeah. It shows. Awesome. It comes out. I mean, it comes out in the performances that I think that you guys are putting on. So a lot of opportunities coming in a very short period of time for you. So going through, you know, 4 years of wrestling, going through trying to motivate yourself, how do you keep yourself grounded? How do you keep yourself motivated through this period of time? Because it's like you're getting these opportunities and you don't know what's next. You don't know how long it's going to last. So how do you keep yourself kind of under control?
Man, that's a good question. Cause I don't know. I've been thinking about that a lot lately. This last year, man, was tough. There's a lot of ups and downs, and there's a lot of times I was just like, why am I doing this? Like, I'm hurting. Like, you know, I love wrestling. That's honestly, that's a big thing for me that got me through, is just the fact that I love doing it and I love putting on a show, and I love, like, the feeling you get when you're calling a match and you're like, man, I, you know, like, when you're calling a match with someone that you know you have chemistry with and you're like, man, you know, I think this match is going to be really good. And then you go out there and you perform and it is good, and the crowd is reacting to it and everything just goes right. It's such a good feeling, man. And, you know, that brings you, that gets you through a lot, I think, because I was talking to my buddy and I was just like, man, why did we pick the hardest job possible? Like the fact that, you know, sometimes like you could be doing this for 12 years and you're still wrestling in front of 200 people for, you know, $40 or whatever, like, yeah. You know, nothing against people that do that or anything, but you know, it's tough. And especially if like you don't have, you know, another job or something that's like getting you through stuff economically, like it's rough, you know. A part of that is having a, you know, a big support group, you know, like having that moral support from your friends and family. I know my girlfriend has definitely gotten me through a lot this last year. Like there's, like I said, there's a lot of ups and downs and, you know, just times where I was like, man, like, why am I doing this? And, you know, she was there and she helped me out. My dad, same thing, you know? So, yeah. And just another thing that gets you through it is kind of like, you never know what's going to happen. Like wrestling is so unpredictable because honestly, like, you know, if this whole COVID thing didn't happen, I might not have ever gotten an opportunity like this. I might have never gotten that Kenny match, you know? So, which I kind of look at as like a, you know, a big, I don't know how you'd say it, like big stepping stone, big, you know, that was like kind of my big break kind of thing. I don't want to call it a big break, but you know,
it's seize an opportunity. Like, seize the opportunity.
I would have never got it if it wasn't for this whole COVID thing. And, you know, Daniel Bryan said it in his book, like, you know, this wrestling is a lot of right place, right time. Like, and you know, some of the, we may not know the best wrestler in the world. You know, he may be just some guy that, like, you know, he's been wrestling for 12 years in front of 200 people for $40. That might be the best wrestler in the world. You know, like, you never know. It's the same thing with like musicians and stuff like that. So it's just mm-hmm. a crazy ride. And a lot of it's just being patient and waiting for something to happen, you know?
It's like the bright spot in this whole thing that has happened, you know, yeah, for you.
Definitely. Yeah. Guys like me and Sean Dean and Lee Johnson, who've really, you know, shown that they can be an asset to, if it's not AEW, you know, like hopefully some promoter or someone has seen all of us and maybe gives another person an opportunity. You know, you never know. Like, I think it's definitely given a lot of us, like, you know, a lot of momentum for sure. Sure.
Yeah, we mentioned in our podcast the one day that we all felt kind of collectively that out of all the promotions, we kind of felt that AEW had been doing the best with the situation that was handed, you know, back in March, and with giving opportunities to people and all that kind of stuff. So that goes to a kudos to them as well as the wrestlers and everything too.
Yeah, definitely.
So you mentioned some of those maybe not well-known matches that you were doing in front of a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you found that people are starting to see those more and talk about those more now that you're kind of a little bit more of a household name, that you've, you know, put yourself out there? Are people, you know, like myself and Captain Chuckles able to kind of go find you now on YouTube and go see a great match against Marco Stunt or a great match against Warhorse, like matches that people normally wouldn't have seen maybe?
Yeah, man. My dad, like I said, he comes to a bunch of my shows, pretty much anyone that's like within 2 hours of where I live. So, you know, he's recorded a lot of the matches and, you know, they're on YouTube and stuff like that. And, yeah, I've been getting a little more traffic on my YouTube channel. I also have a good bunch of matches on, IWTV. If you're not, subscribed to that, you know, you should, cause that's like the future of wrestling right there is IWTV. Mm-hmm. I was talking to my friend AC Mack, who, you know, he also has a bunch of matches on IWTV, and it's just so cool that the independent wrestling scene has something like that. Cause I don't know how many promotions are on it. There's probably like 300 some promotions. Yeah, man. Like it's, you know, like Beyond and GCW are probably the biggest two, but, you know, there's just a bunch of promotions on there that, you know, there's so much hidden talent on those shows, man. And, if you don't have an IWTV account, you definitely should. The two main shows that I do are Action Wrestling and Sup Graps that are on IWTV. But like I said, you know, there's a plethora of different promotions all around the U.S. I think there's a few in like Europe and stuff that are on there too. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I had fun kind of finding all those matches, and that Warhorse one to me, which was like in the middle of like a fair or something. I'm not sure where I was. But that was a really fun match. The camera angles were tough, but a really great match. If anybody has time to go watch it, you know, go find Allen Angels versus Warhorse. It was a really entertaining match, and you guys, I think, put on a great show for the minimal amount of people that you had there.
Yeah, I thought you were dead for 1 second there when you're outside the ring and you were down for 9 and then bam, right into the ring.
Yeah. I like that spot too. Well, I was supposed to wrestle him again in June in Washington, D.C. I was probably not happening now, but you know, I was really looking forward to it. We would have had another killer match, I would like to think, you know.
Definitely. So, outside of wrestling, you know, what are the things that keep you busy? What are some of your hobbies? What kind of music are you into? You know, things like that.
Yeah, I got laid off, unfortunately, because of the whole coronavirus thing, but I worked at a doggy daycare, and man, like, I love working there. That's such a, like, I don't know. I think I would like to open up, like, some sort of, I don't know, whether it be like a doggy daycare or like a place that like takes in rescue animals and stuff like that. Like, I would love to do that one day and open up like some sort of, you know, animal hospital or something like that. I'm not sure. I haven't completely thought it through because, you know, I don't really have the money yet or anything, but like one day if I do have the money, I would love to open up something like that. Like, you know, I'm just a huge animal guy. But because of that, I've gotten to catch up on a bunch of like little hobbies that I, you know, was doing when I was in high school and stuff like that, like video games and music and stuff like that. I've been listening to a lot of Joyner Lucas. He just came out with a new album. He had a really good album. ADHD is what it's called. I've been playing a lot of video games, man. Like I got into, it started out with like the Spider-Man game. I'd never played that. And like my friends always tell me how good it is. So I decided to play the Spider-Man game. Once I finished that, I was like, well, you know, I probably finished in like 3 days or something. So I was like, okay, well, I might as well just keep going. So I played all the Batman games. I played like two before, but I didn't finish or I didn't do the other two. So I played through the whole series. And then I played Uncharted because they were free or whatever. And then I played, what else? I don't know. I ended up playing Call of Duty, which I suck at. I suck at like any first person shooter games. I'm like the worst at them. But
challenge accepted.
Dude, my friend was like, hey man, like this is free. You should get it. And so I ended up playing it and yeah, I mean, we've just been playing like every night, even though we suck at it. He sucks too, so it's like, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's fun, so we play it. And, yeah, I don't know. I just got to catch up on all my video game stuff. And we'll see. Maybe I'll get a PS5 when it comes out. I don't know. Maybe.
My thumbs up earlier was because I actually just got furloughed because of stupid COVID too.
Yeah, so man, sucks.
I feel you on that. One of the things I noticed was in a couple of your videos, you have a kick ass like entrance song, and I'm like, man, what is this song? And like, luckily, I was finally able to get it on and Shazam it, and. Yeah. I See Stars.
Yeah.
10,000 Feet. The intro to that song is like ripping. Dude, it is awesome.
It's great. I love that song. It's like the perfect entrance song, I think, too. I'm glad. Go ahead.
I was going to say, are you into that kind of music?
Yeah, for sure. I was, like I said, I was super into all like Moss the Flames and like, I was into a bunch of like pop punk too. Mm-hmm. But then I was also into like the metalcore metal kind of genre as well. But man, it's just crazy how much like wrestling and working kind of takes up your life. But I try to listen to it every – that's a good thing about, like, driving to these shows, these really long shows. You can just sit in the car and listen to music, you know, or do whatever you want to do. But, yeah, so I would catch up in, on my music that way. But, you know, the whole coronavirus thing has really helped me catch up on all of it.
Bright spots in this thing. So a couple of favorites now. We'll run through them really quick. So favorite city to wrestle in?
Nashville.
Nice. We kind of touched on this before, but we'll say before AEW stuff happened, who was your favorite opponent?
Zachary Cooper. He's an MLW guy. He's pretty good.
Who taking all promotions out of the realm of reality, who is someone that you would want to face that is wrestling now? Not someone that's been retired or anything.
Darby Allin. For sure.
Favorite or dream tag partner?
Currently wrestling or of all time?
Let's go with that one. We'll go all time on that one.
All time? Shoot. Probably Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Nice. I was going to pick on you for not picking Sean, but
but
you know what? Eddie Guerrero, that's an excellent. Yeah, that's a really good one too.
We would be a good team.
Last one, favorite moment in wrestling, in your wrestling career so far?
It would have to be Wrestling Kenny. I was like on such a high after that. It was such a crazy feeling, you know?
Did you guys talk after or, you know, after the match and everything at all?
Yeah, a little bit. I just asked him how everything was and he said it was, you know, he said it was good and that he really liked it. And, you know, it went really, really well. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Getting his approval was, you know, thumbs up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. No complaints.
Just Kenny Omega, you know.
Yeah.
So, along those same lines, who's your biggest critic? Because, you know, obviously it's great to have, you know, people motivate you and push you and say you're doing a great job. But yeah. Who do you respect and who's your biggest critic?
Like what do you mean? Like
just in general, like who have you noticed has come up to you and been hard on you or been motivating you? And but you know it's in a positive way, right? It's not
so not like Jim Cornette calling me a vanilla midget. Not that.
No, not that.
Not that. It would definitely be QT for sure. I after the Kenny match, I went up to him. I asked him how it was. And well, this is, mind you, this is after. So everybody's coming up to me, like all the other guys that, you know, were kind of just brought in to, you know, have enhancement matches and stuff like that. They were all telling me how good it was and stuff like that. And then I asked QT how it went. And he was like, well, the clothesline looked shitty, but, you know, it was cool. So, you know,
he gave that, yeah, that one little rib he had to give you, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not letting me get too high on my high horse, you know?
But I feel like that's important, right? And that's a good coach too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And he'll tell me I want him to, you know, I want him to tell me like what I can do better or like I'll send him all my promos and stuff and he'll let me know like, you know, what he liked and what he didn't like. So, you know, I think you need that because everybody's just, you know, getting on you all the time about how great you are, you know, you're never going to improve.
Mm-hmm. True. True.
Exactly.
So I wanted to touch on one other thing that I've seen in some of the other interviews and stuff you've done. You like to travel. You like the idea of seeing new places. What's your bucket list of things you want to do and places you want to travel to?
Well, like I have a big bucket list as far as places
as
I want to travel.
As a 22-year-old, yeah.
I said like a long time ago that, you know, a big bucket list item would be for me to see all of the 7 natural wonders of the world. I would really love to do that. Well, natural and man-made 7 wonders of the world, but mostly natural because I'm like a nature guy. But, yeah, that's a big bucket list item. But as far as like where I really want to go for wrestling, I would love to go to Japan one day, man. I think you know, the wrestling scene over there is really booming, and I just kind of want to see what everybody's talking about as far as the crowd goes. Like, obviously you see it on TV and like, yeah, you know, when you watch the matches, but you know, I just kind of want to know what it's like in the building, feel it, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks incredible. So along those lines, what's next? You know, where do you see yourself going? What do you aspire? What's the dream? Where, you know, where are you trying to get to?
Yeah. Well, I mean, right now the focus is really on AEW. You know, I would love to get a contract or something like that. But, you know, if I don't, you know, I would love to just like travel all around the world and, you know, go to some of the best promotions. Cause I feel like, you know, you listen to guys like Eddie and Jericho and all them talk about how important it is to, you know, how they really honed their craft by going to Mexico and Canada and Japan and, Europe. And it's just like, you know, I want to do that too. I'm only 4 years in, you know, it feels like a really long time, but then I look at it in the scope of things and it's just like, you know, Jericho, 30 years. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, I would love to just travel all over the place and, you know, learn from each place that I go. So yeah, that's pretty much my goal.
Nice. Jericho, who can never figure out what your actual name is, you know, when he's doing commentary. I mean, it's really not that hard, bro. Come on.
Right. Come on, you know? Hey, got me over, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Whatever he did his job.
Yeah, whatever it takes sometimes. So yeah, we kind of end off one of our last questions that we have for everybody, and it's a topic of discussion on the podcast.
It's a big question.
It is. We haven't been sponsored by them yet, but maybe someday. Oreo cookies. Are you a single stuff Oreo or a double stuff Oreo eater?
Man. That was a hard one. I gotta go with the single stuff. I feel like dude, it's just too much, man. Like I can't, you know? Like I can only do so much. And like also, you know, if you have the double stuff, then you're definitely not gonna have as many, you know, cookies. So it's like, you know, if you don't eat enough cookies and you don't finish off the milk either, like, I don't know, man. Double stuff is too much.
Yeah. All logical reasons, but yeah, you are wrong.
No, I'm just one and two. Shawn Michaels, double stuff. Got it.
Yes. You got the Shawn Michaels, right? You got double. And honestly, the double stuff was probably worse. That's the one I'm going to have to hear about from Big Baby Jimmy, our other podcaster. He will not let us hear the end of this again. So we are back in the hole. You've put single stuff back in the lead through our podcast interviews.
Nice.
if you're keeping count at home, people, it's now two wrestler interviews for single stuff, one for double stuff.
Who said double stuff?
Shazza McKenzie, who we talked to last week.
Yeah. You and Chris Bay are the two so far, so.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm definitely in the winning column then. Chris Bay is the man. Cool.
So we appreciate the time. I think we have some time to, obviously, this is your time to promote. This is your time to push. We want to give everybody, you know, opportunity to go follow you and see you. Where can they go find you? What do you got going on right now?
Yeah. So I just opened my, my Pro Wrestling Tees store. So check that out. The link is like, I don't know, it's in my bio of, Twitter and Instagram. And my Twitter is Alan_Angels. My Instagram is Alan_Angels_. Either that or the other way around. I don't know.
It'll be up on the screen.
We'll get it right. We'll have them up on the screen and in the credits at the end of the show. So
cool. Sounds good.
And what awesome. What big pro wrestling tea? What's out there right now? I know you're kind of working on some stuff. What's out there for us to go purchase right now? Because I need a new shirt. I got the Orange Cassidy one on today, but
nice,
I'll have to upgrade now.
So I got one that's really dope. I kind of made it myself, so it's probably not as dope as I think it is. But it's a picture of me doing a moonsault, and it says underrated across it. And then there's one with that just says Alan Angels, like just a little logo of my name. So
I like the underrated one. That's good.
Yeah, it's dope.
and you're working on one with an eagle tie-in.
Yeah.
I think I heard somewhere.
I'm trying to get like a some sort of graphic that says Allen Eagles, and then it'll be scratched out, and then it'll say Angels under it. So hopefully nice. That'll do good numbers too.
Awesome. Well, good luck tonight on Dark.
Yes.
Everybody, I hope that you've either watched it already or that you go back and watch it if you haven't. But I hope you kick Sammy's ass tonight. or at least get a number of good shots in on him. He's coming off getting hit by that golf cart. So.
Yeah, I'm going for the neck.
There you go. Neck.
Yeah. Cool. So we appreciate your time. Thanks everybody for joining. I will always, join in the Bald Monkeys podcast. You can go like, you can go subscribe, you can go follow us on all the different social media things. Go follow Alan on everything you can. Go talk to him. He's an easy guy to talk to. He'll talk to you. He's got all the time in the world. He'll be wrestling and talking to people. Yeah. So we wish you all the best. We're looking forward to what the next few months bring you. And you got two big supporters right here. So good luck to you. And thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we'll talk again soon.
Cool. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan. Yeah.